1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. And just to set the background, Solomon has just become the king of Israel. And David has just given the throne to Solomon. And before that was happening, he had a brother named Adonijah, and he was trying to usurp and take the authority away from David, from Solomon, and he wanted to be king, right? And so that got exposed, and the Lord put Solomon on the throne. And so Adonijah comes to Bathsheba, Solomon's mom, David's wife, and he's going to ask her a request to ask for Solomon. And so he asked her, and here in verse 14, he said, "Moreover, I have something to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord." And I find it interesting that he already knew this, and he still wanted the kingdom for himself. And he said, "And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." And he said, "Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay." He's not going to tell you no. "That he will give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife." And Bathsheba said, "Well, I will speak for thee unto the king." Now, she goes before King Solomon here in verse 19. Watch what happens. "Bathsheba therefore went unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand." Now, I don't know if your mother here, but the idea that your son would sit on the throne of David, the most powerful seat in the world, similar to the President of the United States, and when you went to see him, you being the most influential person in the world. Solomon, at this time, was the most powerful man in the world. He was more powerful than Vladimir Putin, right? And he sat there on that throne, and he's a man that he bows to no one. And when people come to see him, he stands for nobody, right? He has a position of absolute authority. And his mother comes in, and guess what happens? His mother comes in, and as she walks in, he stands up to meet her, and he bows down to her, and he calls a throne to be called, a seat next to his throne, and he sat his mother next to him, the most powerful position in the world. Now, would you say if that happened in your life at that moment, you would have thought, "Man, the Lord's blessed me, and this is the fruit of my child rearing." That was the crowning moment for her as a mother to show that she had accomplished something that was very, very significant. Would you not agree? And, you know, I've heard that the cradle that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I want to tell you that this morning that there is no more influential position in the world than that of a mother, which can be used for good or bad. Now, this thing that happened here, it did not happen accidentally. Right? When she came in and she was treated that way, and Solomon, her son, was concerned about her request, it shows a great deal of reverence and respect. It shows you what he thought about his mother and how he honored her. You notice he didn't call her to the side. He didn't brush her off. He didn't meet with her in a back room out of the public's eye. Solomon was not ashamed of his mother. He was proud of his mother. And I believe that this shows you what a great woman she was. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. I do not believe that Solomon could have become great without having a great mother. And I think this gives you more insight to how Solomon got to where he was than a lot of verses in the Bible. It shows you a lot of the background that mothers do that are never even talked about and never even appreciated, right? So what did she do that taught him specifically, that caused him to enter into that place of greatness, not only with the Lord, but also with men? And we're going to look at that. Brother Malachi, will you stand and ask the blessing on the offering, message this morning? Amen. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Now Proverbs was written by Solomon, right? Solomon was the wisest man in all the earth outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon, the Bible, he built the temple that the Lord Jesus Christ walked in Solomon's porch. Solomon said that the Lord had, it was told by Jesus Christ that Solomon had a lot of glory. But he said that the lilies had more glory than Solomon. And he said Solomon was great, but talking of himself, greater than Solomon was here. He's the wisest, most influential, most powerful king that Israel had, possibly outside of David. And the book of Proverbs that he wrote was an accumulation of all the wisdom that he had. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and Solomon has helped me more than any books and sayings written in the Bible outside of the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon has taught me more about practical living and wisdom and authority and leadership than any of the other books in the Bible. Now, this is accumulation of all that he knew in his life and all the wisdom that he gathered that God gave him. He put it down in the book of Proverbs. And this is his testimony of how he became great and some of the things that led up to the steps of his greatness to becoming the king of Israel. And I want you to take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, as we're looking at what Bathsheba, his mother, taught him that caused him to be great. And I would like to say, number one, she taught him submission. Look in verse 8. He said, and this is advice that he gives to every child out there. He said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of what? Thy mother." Bathsheba was a woman that laid down the law. And if you had a mother like that, you can relate. He said, "My son, keep my father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother." In Proverbs 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 30 and verse 17, he says, "The eye that mocketh his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it." Now, that is very significant, and it shows you and it gives you insight into Solomon's upbringing and how he was influenced and how he got started. Now, Solomon didn't end up well, did he? So we'll address that right up front. Solomon did not end up well. But no matter how he ended up, he got a good start. He had a good foundation, right? And you cannot get a good foundation and a good start like that without a good upbringing. And I believe the reason for this was his mother's influence. You know, Solomon was a humble man, right? He went in before the Lord when he became king and he said, "I'm a little child. I don't know how to come out and go in. But Lord, I want you to teach me and I want you to give me wisdom." And he got that from his mother. You see, a child does not go from screaming at you, kicking you, and thrashing around when you're trying to discipline him, and telling you no, and running from you, and demanding of him what you will, to being a person that honors and respects you as a mother. That just does not happen, and it's not something that can possibly happen. And if you do not ever teach your child to submit to you, they'll never learn how to submit to the Lord. Because you know what you have as a mother? You have the privilege of being the first person in the world to teach a child what authority is. You know, when you have a child, you know one of the first things you do, you're there and you're changing his diaper. And you know what he tries to do? He tries to get away from you, right? Children do awful things to their mothers, right? I mean, if you've never been, if the child has never baptized you, then you don't really, you don't know what too much some things about motherhood. But, you know, you get the privilege of when he struggles to teach him, no, you lay still when I change your diaper. When he tries to bite when you're feeding him, you teach him not to do that. And you know what that establishes? It establishes authority. And from the age of a tiny baby, that child begins to understand law, it begins to understand submission, and understand authority. Now, if you read the Bible, and you read about Solomon growing up, and you read about David, you know what you do not find in here a lot of times? How Solomon went and played ball with his boys. You don't find it. You don't see David taking his children to Six Flags. You don't see David taking his kids to do all these activities that fathers are supposed to do in our culture anyway, right? You know what David was doing? He was all fighting battles and he was winning wars and he was doing what God wanted him to do. And in the meantime, Solomon, his son, was left to be raised by his mother. And, you know, David's other children didn't turn out good, did they? Amnon, you know what he was? He was a selfish little brat that could not say no to what he wanted. He was a selfish little brat that did not understand what authority was. He did not understand submission. He didn't understand the rule of law and no and boundaries. He did not understand that. All he understood, like a little child, is I know what I want, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get that. Is that not true? Now, did Amnon have the same mother Solomon did? You think about Absalom. If there ever was a conceited, selfish, into himself person, it was Absalom. Absalom invented the selfie. He loved his hair, and he would pull it every year. You know, out of all of Hollywood characters, Absalom is Prince Charming. And you know what he would do is he would come to the throne there where people would go see his father, and he would bow down and kiss him and say, "Oh, that I were king in Israel." And his Instagram and Twitter account started getting all these followers. And he was so into himself. And you know what he tried to do? He tried to steal the authority and the throne from his father, and he would stop at nothing. And he did some of the most vile, despicable things that you can ever do as a man. He didn't have the same mother Solomon did. All he knew was, I know what I want. Then you have Adonijah. You just read that he knew that the king and the throne was Solomon's from the Lord, right? Did he care about that? No, he got his coop together and got his people together and went and blew the trumpet, and they say, he reigns in Israel. And you know what all those other children thought? They thought, we are the king's son. We are privileged. We need things and we deserve things just because of who we are. They didn't understand the rule of law. They didn't understand submission. They did not understand authority. And as a result, their lives were all destroyed. Now, Solomon was different. You don't see him with selfish interest trying to protect his interest and get on the throne. That was the Lord's doing with Nathan the prophet and David. That was from the Lord, and he waited for the Lord to do it in his life. Is that not true? Why do you think that he was so different? than all the other children of David. You know why he was different? He was different because he had a different mother that was an honorable and respectable woman. That's a blessing, isn't it? And it's an encourage to have women that are honorable and respectable and teach their children what the law means. The law of thy mother forsake it not. That means you need to lay down the law. You need to lay down the speed limit. I cannot tell you how many conversations I've had, at least two, where people have come and sat down with me or sat down with Brother Ashton, and they said, you know, my parents didn't really give me any rules. They just kind of left me to fend for myself and do whatever I wanted. And I would go over to my friend's house, and I would see that they had structure, and they had discipline. And when they fell out of line, their father would discipline them. And they said, I did not envy their things. I did not envy their Air Jordans. I did not envy what they had. What I envied more than anything was the rule of law and the structure and discipline that that house had. And a child thrives, and he craves it, and he needs structure, and he needs discipline. And that's what they desired more than anything. A mother that would lay down the law. A mother that would know that the greatest word that you can ever use while changing or training children is a beautiful, magical word called no. And you know what I want to do? I want to take the power from the children and give it back to the parents. And I want to make parenting great again. Listen, if you want to be a good mother, and I know that you do, you have to lay down the law so that child knows not to forsake the law of his mother. Now, how many children could you tell that to today, forsake not the law of thy mother? And they're like, what? There's a law? I've never heard of a law. I don't know what law is. I don't respect the police officer. I don't respect the teacher. I don't respect the principal. I don't respect the prison guards. I don't respect disease. I don't respect danger. I don't respect anything. They never had the law. And how did Solomon become great? Because he had a mother that laid down the law. And that's what set him apart. So listen, Mom, if you feel crazy, you are not a good parent unless you feel crazy. You're not a good parent unless you feel like you're just doing it different than anyone else. You're not a good parent unless you feel like you're mean. And if you're that way, I want to encourage you, and I want to applaud you, and I want to thank the Lord for you, because you're the woman that can produce another Solomon. And I see, if you read Solomon's life, you can see this. Solomon established his throne by judgment, by the rule of law. Right here in this chapter, 1 Kings chapter 2, you have a man named Shimei that did disgrace to his father. And David, when he was dying, said, hey, Solomon, you need to take care of this guy named Shimei. And so Solomon becomes king, and he sits on the throne of his father David. And he calls Shimei in, and Shimei comes in, and he says, hey, Shimei, I'm going to make a deal with you. He said, do you want to live? And he's like, yeah, I kind of want to live. I mean, that's kind of natural. And so he says this to him. He said, you're in Jerusalem, and as long as you never cross that river and you stay in Jerusalem, nothing's going to happen to you. Look at verse 36. He called him to Shimei, and he said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem, and dwell not there, and go not forth thence anywhither. Verse 38, and Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. I agree. It's a good commandment you give me, king. His servant goes, and he wants to go chase his servant down. It's a wonder that he didn't understand authority, yet he wanted to establish his own. You'll never get over what God has put you over until you get under what God has put you under. And Shimei goes out of there, and look in verse 42. And the king called for Shimei, said, did I not make thee swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither that thou shalt surely die? There's a question, right? And here's a follow-up statement. And didst thou and saidest unto me, the word that I have said is good? When hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment which I have charged thee with? You see, he understood the rule of law, right? He understood accountability. And you know what happens next? He kills Shimei, just like he said, right? And you know what? I read that and I see that play out every day of my life in my house. Every day of my life. The other day, Noah, you're going to go play outside, okay? Now, when you go out there, do not turn on the hose and turn the backyard into a mud pit, because number one, it makes your dad angry, and number two, I don't want to do your laundry. Do not turn on the hose. If you turn on the hose, judgment will happen that is compliable with CPS energy, but judgment is going to happen. I mean, Child Protective Service, not energy. Legal judgment is going to take place. She pronounces the judgment, and then she says to him, do you understand? What are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to go outside, not turn on the hose, and not get muddy. What's going to happen if you do it? Well, the judgment's going to happen. 2 minutes later, you cannot even recognize that it's my child. He looks like from the National Geographic, covered with mud, like he's trying to stay away from the blood flies or something. It's in his hair. There is not you can't see anything about this kid whose child he is. Anything. He just looks like a mud statue. Noah, come here. What did I tell you to do? Go outside and not play with the hose. What did you do? I played with the hose. What did I say was going to happen if you played with the hose? You said this was going to happen. Okay, come here. Judgment takes place. She says this to him. I will never turn my head. I will never pretend like it did not happen. I will never look the other way. I will always hold you accountable to the rule of law every time. And I will do it before I sleep, before I sit down, before I cook, before anything. There is nothing more important than me, and I have the best hearing in the world, and I will always hold you accountable every time. Because if you want to amount to anything in life, you have to understand submission and the rule of law. Where do you think Solomon got that from? He didn't get it from David. David's out there killing giants and things. Why did he get it when his other brothers and sisters didn't? You know why? He had a different mother. He had a mother that laid down the law. She taught him strength. And you teach them that, and then if they mess up, it is on them. So let me encourage you not to get discouraged as you hold your children accountable, not to grow weary in teaching them submission. Number two, what else did she teach them? And the touchy-feely people like this one. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. You have to balance it with love. Yeah, but you're off balance. You need to get rid of the love and get judgment, then bring the love back in. It's easy to love an obedient child. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says this. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. You know what else she taught him besides submission? She taught him what sacrifice was. I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now, a little bit of background. Solomon was not the first child that Bathsheba had, was she? You know what happened? She had a child. And because of the sinful situation that she was in, Nathan the prophet came to David and he said, the child that you have is surely going to die. Her and David buried that child and she said, I can't go to him, but he can't come to me, David said, but I can go to him. And in that time of trauma and in that time of grief, you know what happened? Solomon was conceived, and 9-10 months after that tragedy of her first child dying, you know what happened? The Lord gave her another baby named Solomon. And you know what she said? I think, Lord, I do not deserve this opportunity. I do not deserve this gift. And I think like Hannah, she said, you know what I am going to do? I am going to take my best opportunity. I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to use this opportunity to raise this child up for you. And you know what she said? He is only beloved in the sight of my mother. And if you have ever lost a child and had a miscarriage, it makes that next child look like that much more of a miracle, doesn't it? I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now, that is Solomon's testimony. It's not what Bathsheba said that she thought about her children. That's Solomon's story. That's not her saying, I love my kids more than anything. Tell them to get out of here. That was what Solomon's view of his mother was. You know what? She was diligent and she looked after him. And Solomon had a mother that cared more about him than she did about anything else. And if you want good children, then their discipline, their training, their upbringing has to be more important than your me time. It has to be. It has to be more important than you know, I'm just going to take time for me. I know you need that, but your children have to become before that, and they have to be only beloved in the sight of their mother. I'm so encouraged when I see a mother that's not on her phone watching her child. It's rare. I go to the doctor's office and they have these toys there, and why would you put toys that kids can kill each other within a doctor's office knowing that people come there? And here's mom and dad, they're sitting there on their phones, and here's the child, he's got a toy and he's beating on the fish tank. And I'm thinking, what? Well, are you ready for a fish dinner? Because all these fish are about to die. Here's another child and he's turning over the thing and he's jumping up and down, and you can see the rebellion in their faces. And he's screaming like King Kong. Ah! And you think, Mom, Dad, there's something that's living here. There's an opportunity here. Can you put down your God-forsaken phone? Pay attention to your child. Can you love him? Can you care about him enough to teach him not to be an ape? Can you? And they just keep scrolling until the kid ends up in prison. You know why? They do not care enough about their child. And I'm thankful for you mothers in here that care enough about a child more than anything else. I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. To have good children, you have to be a good parent, and it takes sacrifice. There's not a woman in here that would not tell me and you that I would give my life for my children. The way to give your life for your child is not to die for the child, but to live for the child. Solomon's mother made sure there was nothing more important in her life than the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, and now I want you to know before I say this, I don't know who I'm talking about. This is just general knowledge. It's not pointed at anyone. But I will tell you this, that in my experience and in our experience here at church, you know the children that do the best in Sunday school, Master's Club, they learn their verses, they earn the badges, they are engaged in the Sunday school class? It's children whose parents are engaged with them. You know what kids do the best in school? It's the parents that hold their children accountable and find out where they're at in school and what they're doing and how they're doing. You can take them and stick them in the Sunday school class. Nothing will happen unless you're engaged with them. What did you learn? What are you supposed to memorize? Where are you at Master's Club? And you know what that does? That takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice. But it's worth it. It will bring you honor one day. It takes the sacrifices of dishes and laundry and breakfast and lunch and dinner and dishes and laundry and breakfast and lunch and dinner. If I said it three times, you guys would get mad, and they do it every single day, and some of them work on top of that. And then all this work and all this sacrifice, and one day you die. That's the good part. And you're raising this little child that's going to grow up and marry somebody, and he's not even going to come to church with you on Mother's Day. Not even going to give you flowers or a card, or unless some preacher scares him into doing it. But if you did a job well done, you will stand before the Lord and you will get the honor that you deserve as a mother because you sacrificed and you gave for your child. There's no greater love. Years ago, there was this young mother, and she was making her way from one house to another in the hills of South Wales. And it snowed back then. It was before global warming, and a blizzard came up. And she got lost inside of that snowstorm. And she started going in circles, and she started getting tired, and she started getting cold and faint and hungry. And for hours she walked, and she's like, I'm not going to find anything. So what she did is she took off her coat and her outer garments. She wrapped them around her baby, and she laid down and covered that child to keep him warm. The next day, the blizzard subsided, and they sent a search party out, and they discovered that lady's body in a drift of snow. They pulled her body out, and to their surprise, they found a baby that was still alive and warm that she shielded with her own body to keep the child warm. Years later, that same child became David Lloyd George, a Prime Minister of England and one of England's greatest statesmen. A great ruler. Her sacrifice gave opportunity for the rule. Bathsheba's sacrifice gave Solomon the opportunity to have a throne for the Lord Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am or ever have been in this world, I owe under God to my mother. And I say this without bragging, without trying to draw attention to myself, but just in humble thanks and adoration to God. My children, if they ever amount to anything, they will owe it to my wife Michelle, because they are tender and only beloved in her sight. She sacrificed everything for them. And I see many mothers, the only book they've read lately is Facebook. It's definitely not a child training book. They've spent time in front of the television, but I'm thankful for a mother that'll sacrifice and read a book to her children, love them and discipline. My mom used to read to us and gather us around to pray, and she's a worse singer than I am. She sang to us. There was a day when my mom was my best friend. There was a day when I had no doubt that I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And we've grown and our relationship has changed. But she will be honored before the Lord for that sacrifice. One day, two harlots walked into King Solomon's office, and they're arguing about who the true mother was. Solomon said, bring the living baby here and give me a sword, and we'll cut it in half, and then we won't argue about the child anymore. And you know what Solomon learned from his mother? That a mother will put her feelings, her emotions, and everything aside for the good of that child. And he found out who the real mother was, and he learned that from his mother. Not only did she teach him submission and sacrifice, look at Proverbs 31, she taught him the scripture. And I found this, and hopefully we won't be much longer. Mother's Day at church, and I keep you here all day. We're having church tonight, if you want to come. I didn't want to sit at home by myself, and now Michelle stayed, so we'll have more people at church. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that what? Lemuel means of God. And it is widely accepted and believed that this was Solomon, and his mother, obviously, is Bathsheba. And you know what I find absolutely astonishing? That the Proverbs 31 woman description was not written by Solomon, but it was written by Bathsheba, his mother. Now, do you think Solomon would have put that in there if it wasn't true about his mother? She said, it's not for kings to drink wine or strong drink. She taught him the words of the prophecy. You know what that is? That's Deuteronomy and the book of the law, and that's how kings and rulers and priests are supposed to act. That's how they're supposed to do it. Amen? And she taught him what he needed, and she formed his character for one day when he ascended to the throne. She knew he was going to be one. She knew where God had him going before he ever knew it. And she prepared him for that place. And she taught him in his formative years. Kids don't get to 18 and just all of a sudden know the Bible and have that character. You teach that them when they're a child. And she formed his child's character. I asked my kids, I said, Seth, what's the greatest thing about having a mom? He says, they train you to serve the Lord. I said, Bez, what is the greatest thing about having a mom? And he says, they live their life to glorify God, and they're Christians. They don't even know that there's other types of mothers. And that's what made Solomon great. And she taught him what a good woman was, and she modeled it. You have to model these things in your children's life. You have to live it out so you can mold it and ingrain it into their character. You know what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:26? Listen to this. His mother taught him what a good woman was, right? And then he said this, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. He says this, yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. I'm still looking. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among those have I not found. How many wives did he have? 1,000. And he said, I've looked and looked and looked. I can't even find a woman among 1,000 that matches what my mother was. You know, if you read the book of Proverbs, there's so much in there about the strange woman and how not to be trapped by her, right? Because Solomon wanted more than anything, he wanted a virtuous woman, but he didn't follow the steps that she gave him. If you want your children to be picky, then you have to model to them what a good mother and a good wife would be. Every man I know that had a good mother or a good wife desires to have a wife with that same character. And you know what you have to do? You have to instill it in them. Be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well into thy herds. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan was a great, great preacher. And he had 4 boys that all turned out to be preachers. And one time people walked in and they were questioning the boys just to see what. And they said, your daddy's a preacher and you boys are all preachers. And they went in and they said to one of the boys, his name was Howard, they said, Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? And they thought for sure he was going to say, G. Campbell Morgan, I have his books on my shelf. And he said without hesitation, he looked across the room and he said, my mother is the greatest preacher in this house. Thank the Lord for a good mother that will teach you the Scripture and put those things into you. What a priceless opportunity that you have, that you are their first counselor. You shape and color the rest of their lives. The child first says his mother's words. He speaks his mother's thoughts. His views are derived from her. A mother can teach a child to be affectionate, aspiring, loyal, brave. She can mold her child as easily as a potter sculpts the clay and molds it into a perfect vessel. She taught him submission. She taught him sacrifice. She taught him the scripture. And I'm not going to teach much on this, but she also taught him that sin brings shame. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And over and over and over in the Proverbs, you can see him saying, hey, if you do the wrong thing, you're going to be shame on your mom. You're going to be shame on your parents. And if you want to be honored one day as the mother that you deserve to be honored one day, you have to teach your child that sin brings destruction and shame. If you read the Bible and you go through 1st and 2nd Kings and Chronicles, you're going to find this phrase in there. His mother's name was, and you know what's going to be right after that? He did that which was evil, or he did that which was good. If you study the kings of Israel, you will find out a lot of the evil ones had evil mothers. Thy father was a Hittite, and thy mother was an Amorite. See, the kings are all fighting the battles, and the mother's molding the child. And when you get the woman from the world, she molds them in the wrong way. He did that which was evil, and he did that which was right. And their mother's name's right next to it. Now, let me give you a little bit of encouragement here. Bathsheba did not have a spotless past. Right? Her husband was acquired through adultery and murder, which she was probably privy to, or she would have went fighting and screaming to that marriage altar. She had God's judgment because of that sin come on her. She did not have a spotless past. But you know what she did not allow? Her past to ruin the opportunity that she had with her children. And you can read that and say, oh, that's okay, that's easy for a Bible woman. No. She was a mother just like you that just took advantage of the opportunity that God gave her to mold her child in the right way. She didn't let it stop her from raising a good child. And I don't care what mistakes you've made, neither does the Lord if you repent of them. He cares about what you're going to do with the opportunity that you're given. Now let me say this as well. Every child has a free will. God gave us a free will. And you know what God also did? He gave your children all free wills. And one day that child is going to choose whether he serves God or not. My child could end up in jail one day for anything. And you know what? I don't want to get to that place and have something like that happen and look back and say, well, yeah, I want this to happen. When my child leaves my care in my house, I will have given him every opportunity available to serve the Lord, to be successful, to make something out of himself in life. I will give him everything in my power to do that. And if he didn't do it, it's on him. Solomon didn't end well. And it was on Solomon. It wasn't on his mother. Please, take advantage of this opportunity. If something goes wrong, don't be discouraged, and you will not be if you did everything you could in your power to do the job that God wanted you to do. If I can have the piano player come forward and begin to play. And if God spoke to your heart, the altar's open. Maybe you just want to thank the Lord for having a godly mother. Maybe you want to Ask the Lord for help with this great task that's in front of you. Maybe you just want to pray in your seat. But we want you to know, Mom, we're very thankful for you today and the job that you do. And we're thankful for the Solomons that you give this world. Let's stand, bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray.